digitally uploaded.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Digitally Uploaded podcast post E3 Spectacular. I'm Matt Sainsbury. I'm the editor-in-chief of digitallydownloaded.net, and with me is Alan.
Hey, guys.
So let's talk all about E3. So E3 happened, and it was big and spectacular, as I think everyone expected. There was plenty of games announced, plenty of games shown off. Everybody's probably going to have their favorite winners and losers. We don't kind of do that winners and losers nonsense here, but we thought we'd have a chat about all the good stuff that we saw while we're at the show, watching the show at least, and I guess give some thoughts about, you know, just how it matched up with our expectations, and whether we liked the show this year. So, Alan, did you have a good time watching along?
I reckon I did. It was a very positive thing for everyone. Like, there wasn't a console that was really left out. Even the Xbox got some pretty interesting sort of stuff. Sony coming off of last year just did it again, which is wonderful. I mean, Last Guardian coming out this year is huge and terrifying, really. And you know, there was the fact that they actually had games there that they were wanting to show off is so good compared to the sort of EA nonsense that you usually get, which is the, here's 20 minutes of some guy you don't care about talking about something you don't care about sort of thing. It was wonderful. And the, you know, New Zelda game, I'm so interested in seeing what they're doing with that it makes me want to buy a Wii U again, but I'm not going to do that probably. Because of Australia.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty good too. There wasn't anything in there that was going to convince me to buy an Xbox One to start with. Not that there wasn't good games on it. Like, We Happy Few, especially, looks so absolutely incredible.
I've been following that since it was kickstarted a while ago, and I'm so happy to see these guys get, like, a bunch of coverage because they are so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I really like them. I spoke to the guy for my book. I actually interviewed them for their previous game. They're really cool guys, and they have really good sense of creativity and stuff. So I'm happy to see We Happy Few got a nod on one of the stage shows. Mm. I'm hoping it comes to PlayStation 4 at some stage. I think it will.
It'll have to. It'll be like how Bastion was.
Yeah, absolutely. Which would be good, because I do want to play it, but I'm not going to buy an Xbox One for that.
I think it's on PC as well, I believe.
Yeah, I don't have a PC that will run it either. So yeah, it looks good. I thought EA had a good show. Faye especially was just breathtaking. It was really happy. I was really happy to see that Unravel seemed to do well enough for EA that it decided to build an entire business unit dedicated to finding more games like that and publishing them. And Faye being the first game from that initiative looks, you know, much in the same way as Unravel looked. It's like a really creative but high production valued kind of independent game, which is good. I like that EA is supporting that kind of stuff. I hope they continue to do so. I hope they find more games like that to publish, because that was definitely the highlight of EA's show for me. But that being said, you know, some of the other stuff was quite interesting. You know, any more information about Mass Effect, I'm always happy to take on. And this Mass Effect, despite not getting much gameplay trailer stuff, is definitely interesting. I like the idea that in this new Mass Effect, you'll be, as humans will be the aliens, like you're going to an entirely different galaxy and everything's going to be weird and different and there's not going to be many humans around at all. So I guess that kind of is a similar concept to that Xenoblade Chronicles X idea where humans are the kind of the invaders. And I just know BioWare can do that story justice where Xenoblade Chronicles didn't really. So yeah, fingers crossed for that one. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that.
I'd just like to also give a quick shout out to EA's sort of balls with tackling a story mode in FIFA, which I know that no one's probably going to give a single toss about it, but I care, and that's all that matters, because I want to see them do a 2K style storyline. Because I've been
I thought that was really cool.
I think it's a really good idea, and I like the fact that he looks like a pretty cool dude. I forget his name, but Alex something. Alex whatever the hell. I don't know. It looks really, really cool, and I hope they actually do the sports drama well, because that's what's going to make me upgrade to 17 over 16.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that FIFA's been doing some pretty good stuff over the last couple of years, actually. The women's game last year. And then this story mode thing this year, you know, it's good to see that they're investing in improving the series and not just updating the rosters, as everyone always criticizes them of. So yeah, that's good to see.
Yeah.
Bethesda, not a whole lot there for me.
Quake looks great. I'm very excited for that.
Not a whole lot there for me.
I knew you were going to be along that line, so I had to say Quake before I forgot it.
No, nah, look, I'm actually really keen on the Skyrim PlayStation 4 remaster, because it looks
good.
I
actually really like that I get that for free on PC. Like, that's really good.
You get the update for free?
Yeah. So if you own Legendary Edition of Skyrim on PC, you get an upgrade for free to the remastered version, which is great, but it means I won't be able to play the game on PC anymore because my computer won't be able to handle it. Which, you know, it's take it with a grain of salt. I mean, we all sort of knew it was coming. It's a big game. It's going to make money. It's going to be tiding people over. And they have confirmed that Elder Scrolls 6 is being made to no one's surprise at all.
I suspect that this was more just that Elder Scrolls 6 is, Elder Scrolls 6 is taking its time to get together, and rather than show something off that's too early to really show off properly, this was Bethesda's way to keep people interested in Elder Scrolls while they do the new one, which is fine. You know, I spent like 250 hours or so playing PlayStation 3 Elder Scrolls, so I imagine that any excuse to jump back into it on PlayStation 4 will do me good. So yeah, I'm kind of interested still in the Elder Scrolls card game, you know, it's actually, you know, collectible card games, they're in a bit of a rut for me at the moment, because I'm kind of done with Hearthstone, and Might and Magic is kind of on its way out. So Gwent and this one, you know, it might get me playing again, which will be good. I like the collectible card games, so that's a nice thing. Other than that, Dishonored just... I mean, Dishonored is
cool.
It looks all right.
I loved the first one, so I'm very excited to see what they do with Emily and how cool she is, because she was pretty lame in the first game. Because she just yelled at you a lot, which wasn't fun. But she looks really cool. I like her new redesign. It looks really, really, really like flashy and stylish and interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, plus I mean,
They also have the voice actor for the main character in Thief, Garrett, voicing Corvo Atano, which is sort of enforcing the fact that this is basically just Thief, but for the new generation.
Yeah,
which is so cool.
I didn't play the original Dishonored, so I might try and check it out at some point before this new one comes out. But yeah,
very much recommend it. You can play the entire game without killing a single person, and it's the most fun thing to do in the world.
Yeah, and that would interest me. I guess the trailer kind of annoyed me because it showed an awful lot of killing.
Yeah, because people want to see all the glory, flashy kills, and the stealth part of the game is mostly just like really high tension stuff that you can't really get through a trailer. So I get why they did it, but also like. Nah.
Well, I felt it was misrepresenting the game then, because I actually didn't realize that you couldn't play through Dishonored without being violent.
No, you can totally do it. You just dispose of people in different ways.
Yeah, it was only explained to me like on Twitter like afterwards after the trip. But yeah, the trailer didn't give me any sense of that. So that was poor. I didn't think the trailer was a particularly good trailer, to be honest. So that might be affecting my interest in the game a little bit. Anyway, we'll wait and see.
Just everything Sony put out.
Well, we'll get to Sony in a second. Ubisoft. Ubisoft won't take long. I missed the conference for Ubisoft because it was at a bad time of the morning for me.
4 a.m. I believe.
5, 6. I think it was 6 actually. Anyway, I was on the train as it was going, and I didn't really feel the need afterwards, based on what I saw on Twitter, to go and watch it again. So I still haven't watched the Ubisoft show. There's apparently a new Tom Clancy game, which is like open world, because everything Ubisoft does has to be open world. There's Watch Dogs 2, which is open world, because everything Ubisoft has to do has to be open world. Apparently there's a Hatsune Miku track in Just Dance, which was pretty much the highlight.
I think there is, yeah.
And it's like one of my favorite Hatsune Miku tracks. So, yeah, that's probably the highlight of Ubisoft.
So Matt's going to end up buying Just Dance just for that Hatsune Miku track.
I did last year. There was a Hatsune Miku track last year as well. I'm hoping that all of this is like angling towards Ubisoft and Krypton doing like a Just Dance Hatsune Miku edition, because that would be just awesome. Like 30 Hatsune Miku tracks Just Dance style. That would be pretty cool. I'd buy that. Welcome back. So let's talk about Sony, because I think Sony was the highlight of the show for a lot of people. I think Alan and I included. So Alan, what I guess did you like from the show, from Sony's stage show, other than everything?
I was just going to say everything. Damn it, now I actually have to be like coherent. Well, as someone who grew up with a PlayStation 2, but also had played a lot of the PS1, I have never been more excited for a remaster in my life than I have for the Crash Bandicoot 1.3 remaster. It makes me so happy to see it again. And I think, you know, it'll be really, really good, because those games are so solid and they still hold up now. Like, I can go play them on my Vita right now and they're great.
You do know that you're probably the only person that thinks that, right?
Oh, I know, but I don't care. I'm allowed to be happy about something occasionally. This in Overwatch, it's all I need. As for other things, like I said before, Last Guardian actually getting a release date. Whoa. Nier Automata, which I'm sure you're going to talk about as well, because it looks pretty damn swell.
Which Tekken wasn't 7. In the show.
It wasn't in the show?
Nope. Darn. And okay. Neither was Tekken's Xbox exclusive.
What?
I think.
What? No. Hold on. Xbox
and PC exclusive, I think.
Oh, you're joking.
No. Did you miss
not
that?
On PS4. Not on PS4.
It's coming on PC. Okay, that's good. Oh, but it wasn't at the Sony show, that's for sure.
You actually just made me panic super hard. Like, no, not this again.
Because, yeah. I mean, the reason I say that is the one irritation I had with the show was, for the last couple of years, Sony's done a really good job of showing the diversity of games that are on its platform. So you always had the indies getting up and doing their bit. You had the Japanese guys getting up. Last year you had, you know, Shenmue 3 announced at the show and all that kind of stuff, which was great for everybody. This show, I felt, was much more weighted towards Western development and Western blockbusters. And even the Japanese guys that got up and spoke about stuff, you know, like Kojima and so on, their games were quite Westernized in the way that they were designed. So not that any of that's a bad thing. I thought it was a great show, and like, there was just game after game after game that I'm really keen on, including Kojima's one.
Death Stranding, the most obscurely Kojima title you can possibly imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that kind of stuff's really exciting. I just wish that there was a little bit more variety in the show than what we got. But that being said, like you, I was really positive on it all. For me, I guess the highlights were Detroit. I can't wait for that. Anything That's by cool. David Cage is, you know, 10 thumbs up for me. And his take on science fiction and cyberpunk and stuff, which is what this one seems to be doing, is going to be good. So that's cool. Last Guardian, of course, anything to do with The Last Guardian is good. The fact it got a release date is just really good. What else do I really like? I kind of like the idea of the VR Star Wars TIE Fighter game.
The whole Star Wars section, I don't know if it's part of the EA show, if it was part of the PlayStation show, but seeing Emmy Hennig being there, it was like, this is going to be good. Like, she's not going to make a bad game.
That was EA.
It was EA? Well,
yeah.
I got distracted by Star Wars. I got really excited. So, look.
No, it's good. It's
Amy Hennig. I associate her with PlayStation more than anything else. So, like,
no, it's absolutely valid. I think that, you know, whatever she's working on will have a better plot than what EA's done with Star Wars in the past. So, yeah, that's great stuff. So, I thought Resident Evil looked really interesting.
Have you played the demo?
No. I'll go and download it after we finish up today.
I recommend everyone to go and download it if you can. It's very cool.
Resident Evil PT Edition.
Literally that, yeah. like, it has the same sort of... It's a bit more B-grade horror rather than, like, actual poop-your-pants horror. It's a bit schlocky, but, you know, that's what Resident Evil's meant to be, kind of. Like, I wouldn't want them to go all full-on serious. I want them to still have goofy things, like anything in the first three games, pretty much. Yeah, it is very, very interesting. It's amazingly like detailed visually. It's got the same like level of crazy detail that you'd see in PT. And you know, it's, I'm pretty sure there's Ada Wong in it at some point, but that's not able to be confirmed. And that makes me very excited because Ada Wong is the coolest. Yeah. Also, I think that the branding is very clever as well. Like Revel is a very, very nice idea. I think it's very, very cool. They've done a very good job after Resident Evil 6.
Yeah, I think they needed to bring it back. I think they needed to bring it back to the horror genre. They think they needed to, obviously. So they have, which is great.
Well, I read an interview with the main producer, I think, and he was saying that he was hearing feedback saying, we want Resident Evil to go back to horror, which is like, yeah, no joke. The entire internet and everyone who like, cared about Resident Evil was just yelling, go back to horror.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good one to look forward to. That one, I can't remember the name of it because I keep forgetting it every time. The open world game with the robot monsters.
Giant stompy robot dinosaur.
Yeah, giant stompy robot dinosaur game. That looks good.
It does look cool.
Very approving of it.
I would like to say, though, I don't know if I like the idea of having it be a crafting game again because I'm sick of crafting things. Would have just much preferred it to be an action game, honestly.
Well, we don't know how much of the role the crafting will play. It might be something you can skip. So who knows?
Hope it is.
Fingers crossed.
I don't want to shoot dinosaurs.
God of War was good.
Looks good.
Looks all right. Anyway, looks okay. Maybe. Whatever.
Yeah, I've not played any God of Wars, but this one looks really, really interesting. And I think Norse mythology is very, very cool as well. And I think the creator is actually having a human side and not just being a shouty man. Is actually quite a nice benefit to everyone because I got sick of him yelling Ares for the 7,000th time.
Yeah. So just to confirm, it's Greek, not Norse mythology.
No, it is. The new one's Norse. Greek.
Is it?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, it's very much Norse mythology.
Okay. Well, I missed
that. That's why it's Axe and not the Blades of Chaos.
Right. Anyway, that looks all right. I found it quite interesting that Sony decided to use that as their opener after going to all the effort to make this like theater, this really glamorous looking theater, their location, which was really good. Like I like the contrast. It was really good that they had the live orchestra and the full theater look, the red curtains and all that kind of stuff was really cool, really classy. And then they opened with God of War, which was really amusing. Anyway, so that looked good. What else was there at the show? The only bits that were kind of disappointing to me was, firstly, why the hell they spent like 20 minutes, not quite, but exaggeration, but why they spent any time showing off a Lego game at a Sony show. That was weird.
It's because it sells.
I don't really care that it sells. It's like, it's just not something you throw up on a, you know, when you've got all this other stuff, which I'll talk about in a minute, you've got all this other stuff to show that you could and you didn't, and you put Lego up, which was just off. The other thing was that I really did not get on with was that new IP from Sony. That
Ready at Dawn.
Ready at Dawn? Like the original trailer that they showed at the start was okay. It just looked like another attempt to do Cormac McCarthy's The Road in a video game form, which, you know, is getting a little bit cliche now, but it's a good material. So, you know, you can't really begrudge the developers for wanting to use that as inspiration. But then they went and did the gameplay thing at the end, which was just, it was awful. So, you know, just all action, zombies, nonsense, no context, nothing really interesting that we haven't seen like a billion times before. Or it looked like an attempt to do something like Dying Light in the end, which was in third person rather than first person. So it just didn't inspire me in the slightest. So, yeah.
I mean, it looks like it's trying to just take two popular things and merge it into one. And while I think it might be all right, it doesn't look like... It looks like a very last-gen game, just conceptually. Just because of the zombies. I'm sick of zombies. I've seen so many zombies. Don't care anymore.
And welcome back. So we talked about Sony's show. One of the things that I would have liked to have seen more of Sony's show was some of the independent and Japanese stuff that Sony has coming on the PlayStation 4. And it wasn't because Sony didn't have all that stuff. It was just that they didn't put it on the show. After the event, Sony was busy pushing out videos and having all these kind of hands-on gameplay things at the booth for all of its more niche stuff. So I thought we could talk about some of that now. For me, I guess one of the highlights, the absolute highlights of E3 was one of those games. It's called Bound. It's been developed with the help of Sony's Santa Monica studio, I believe, but it's an independent game. It's basically like this really trippy, abstract, very very abstract, actually, platformer in which you're playing as a woman ballerina who is remembering her past, which sounds vague, and that's about all we got from the trailer. But if you have a look at it, it's just absolutely gorgeous in the way it uses color and movement, and it's just so intriguing. So that kind of stuff I like to see, and good on Sony for that, for backing that one. What else was there? There was also Gravity Rush 2, which is very exciting. Yep. I don't know. You've played Gravity Rush, right, Alan?
I played Gravity Rush for all of about 10 minutes on a demo Vita. That didn't quite work, so it was a bit difficult to really judge it, but it looked good.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. So.
I'm assuming that on your actual Vita at home, you don't get a sticky sort of gross feeling in your hands. So that's probably a benefit to the game, I guess.
Well, you can grab it on PS4 now.
You can? Oh, yeah, because it's been remastered, of course.
Yep, yes. Gravity Rush Remastered. Worth checking out. Get very excited because the sequel is looking very much like its predecessor, and that's a good thing indeed. What else was there? There's confirmation that the Chinese Room's first game, Dear Esther, is coming to PlayStation 4.
Oh, which
is
no.
Cool.
No.
I've been playing through
Rapture.
Rapture, I played that through again recently-ish. And then what was the other one?
Gone Machine
Home.
For Pig.
Gone Home. No, Gone Home. I'm saying I've been playing through a bunch of walking simulators at the moment. Yeah, so Dear Esther will be cool. Can have a whole hard drive full of walking simulators on the PlayStation 4, which is great.
And I think this is my little time to sort of yell about Abzu.
Abzu.
It's absolutely gorgeous looking game. It's very much inspired by Journey, I feel, which is probably my favorite sort of, it's not really a walking simulator, but favorite sort of like artistic experience, I guess. And it's being orchestrated by Austin Wintory, so it's going to be good. He's good. He's really, really damn good, and I love his scores.
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
He's a goddamn genius. It looks like it has everything I loved about Journey, but in a more interesting setting for me, which is underwater. And I feel having fish and stuff would be really nice.
I mean, yeah, that kind of thing's hard to do on a technical level because water is quite difficult. But if you can pull it off, it just looks absolutely breathtaking. So that day game definitely looks good. We saw that, what was it, last year for the first time? Last year, three?
But we barely saw anything.
Yeah, so the fact it's been progressed and we've seen a bit more of it is pretty cool. So there was all kinds of other stuff that Sony had, they were promoting outside of this show. There's this collectible card game thing, I think, called Quare. I think that's how you say it. Magic Library. It's a mobile game, but it's been ported to PlayStation 4. And it's, if you're into anime girls, basically, that's your game. It looks pretty good, actually. There's Pox Nora, which is a really old game now, but it's huge as a result. And it's been played for years and years and years and been constantly updated. And it's this tactics game, collectible tactics game, which has like 1,500 different characters to collect now, 500 spells, whatever. That's going to last you forever. There was Masquerader Songs and Shadows, which comes to us from Witchy Now Studios, which is a Singaporean-based developer. And it's kind of like Transistor, Dragon Age, Baldur's Gate, those kinds of games. Any more of that on console is always a good thing. And then there was Nier Automata, which is, well,
it's Nier.
It's the best. I call in it now. It's going to be the best game of 2017. Just calling that now. Completely confident that even in the year that Persona 5 is coming out, that it's going to be the game of the year because Nier is basically the game of forever.
Can we please just have a little bit of a talk about Persona 5 and how amazingly cool that game looks in every single way?
We'll get to that in a second. I want to talk about Nier first. So there's a new, last year when we saw that Nier was coming and we all got very excited because no one thought that was going to happen because the first Nier was such a bomb that it actually closed the studio that made it. We didn't actually see any gameplay of it. So this year, Square Enix came and showed us a couple of bits of footage, including a boss battle, and it looks wildly creative, very much like a Nier. So it doesn't look like it's compromised any of its artistic or creative vision in being a sequel. And with a different developer, Platinum Games, it looks like it's up the quality of the action, which is probably the one criticism that you could push at the original Nier. So, yeah, it looks like it's a win on every level, and that game's coming in early 2017, and it's looking like it's going to be a very busy early 2017 because that's when Persona 5 also comes, and Alan can talk about Persona 5.
It looks gorgeous. It looks so cool. The biggest issue I had with P4 was that it didn't look like it should, I guess. Like, it had all these really, really cool characters and everything, but it didn't ever really look like the world reflected that. And I feel like P5 is doing that a lot better. Just with, you know, even the way the menus look, something as simple as the menus and the design and the general UI and even the level up screen after a battle looks so stylish and so stylized to the point where it looks like it, like these characters are perceiving it as well, which I think is really, really cool. And, you know, it's got Persona gameplay. I'm going to get around it. It's going to look cool and it's going to be fun. Like, and the soundtrack as well. Just,
well, it's the same. It's the same soundtrack. It's the same, same music guy as Persona 4. So you can pretty much guarantee that it's going to be good. And yeah, I mean, I saw the surprise attack, you know, when you get, you know, jump a monster for the first time and, you know, they don't notice. So you get the, you know, the surprise
cool, attack. Like, animation.
Yeah, that's just all kinds of cool. Like any other RPG just kind of shifts from screen to the battle screen and then says, oh, look, you've got a surprise attack. But no, this one just does all this kind of crazy stuff and it's just awesome.
Like, it made me so happy watching that trailer. Yeah. I'm so excited.
I guess my only concern, and it's not really a concern, I guess there's that, if I'm trying to be like devil's advocate and think of a way that it could go wrong, it's almost like potentially Persona 5 might be so far over the top or so hyper-stylized for so frequently that it might be draining to watch, if that makes sense.
I get it.
Yeah. I just wonder whether, like, as cool as that is in short clips, if you're sitting there for like a 3-hour gaming session, are you going to start getting headaches or is it going to start to make your eyes bleed? You know, if I suspect not, you know, I'm just being picky here for the sake of it, but it just looks like it's so over designed that it just might be too much over the long term. So I guess that's my only slight concern. Speaking of Persona, there's another game that was announced or shown off a bit at E3. It's called Akiba's Beat.
That game, I thought it was a Persona game originally. It's a sequel to Akiba's Trip, wasn't it?
It's a sequel to Akiba's Trip. And originally I wasn't that keen, I wasn't following it that closely because Akiba's Trip, as good as much fun as I had with it, you know, kind of was what it was and you knew what you were getting with it. It was about, you know, ripping clothes off people.
I enjoyed it.
And I just kind of assumed Akiba's Beat would be much the same. But then I watched the trailer for it and it looks like an entirely different thing. like entirely different thing. So now it actually does look like a Persona game. And it has that same vibe in the overworld, and then it seems to have like these dungeons that are not the same as the real world. So they're a little bit trippy and a little bit fantastic. And yeah, that game caught my attention.
Yeah, it looks interesting. It looks far more interesting than the Kiva Strip was.
What, didn't like ripping clothes off people?
It's the dumbest idea. Like, it's so weird that it doesn't... Like, I can get away on weird concepts. Like, we love Katamari and Katamari Damacy. Like, those games are great, and they have a right amount of weird. A Kiva Strip was just like, I have no idea what the hell is happening or why this is happening. And then you go to a dojo for some reason, and you're in the dojo, and you have, like, a strip fight with vampires in a dojo, but there's no sun in the dojo. So why are they burning up? I got really mad over dumb things like that. Yeah, I hated that game. I really hated that game.
Well, we maybe another time we can talk about that game a bit more. But, you know, it's... Mm-hmm. It had its smarts. It was a reasonable game.
I understand that it's probably very ironic and like doing it, like,
it as is.
A sort of subversion thing, but I didn't care.
It is. It very much is. But I was just surprised that Akiba's Beat is like not an Akiba's game at all. Like it's completely different. So even if you weren't a fan of Akiba's Strip, I suggest having a look at this one. You might be surprised. There was one other game I did want to highlight, was announced right at the end of E3, because Atlus likes being nasty like that and making me work after not sleeping for a couple of days. But Caligula, which is a quite interesting game by the same developers that did Lost Dimension, which was a very underrated game itself, have this game called Caligula. And we weren't sure if that was going to get an English localization. Atlus announced that it was going to get an English localization at E3, which is great. And yeah, this is a particularly good looking game itself. It's also promising to be quite smart.
This is the one that looks a bit like Catherine's art style, right?
Vaguely.
Yeah. I remember seeing it and thinking it looks like Catherine. It doesn't look like Catherine at all. I'm totally wrong. It looks more like Persona.
It does look a bit like Persona. It has, like, elements, I guess, of... I mean, yeah. Anyway, it's going to be good, I think. I like thinky games. This one's probably going to be a thinky game, so worth checking out, I think. Anything else that you wanted to mention that you saw at the show, Alan?
Nothing that I can... Let It Die. But we've already talked about Let It Die a lot of times, and it looks cool and looks radical, and I want Suda to make lots of money so he can keep making games and be mental on Twitter.
I actually missed Let It Die. What was shown off at E3?
Just more gameplay stuff.
Okay. It's looking good?
Yes. It looks like a Suda game. No, it's a Suda game, so it's very, very, you know, subtle. It doesn't, you know, doesn't get too up in your face.
Yeah,
okay, colours cool. Or anything, you know. Standard Suda fare.
Yeah,
it looks like a Suda game. Like, if you like Suda games, you're gonna like this.
Is it still going for the whole free to play thing?
Yeah, pretty sure it is. Yeah, so it'd be interesting. I'm gonna check it out pretty much immediately, and if there's like some sort of founders pack or something, I might consider that, just because I want to support him.
Digitally uploaded.